So there is, a paradox unfolding in Australian finance right now that makes absolutely no sense on the surface.
It really does.
We're calling it the finance talent war. The deal is this: major banks are publicly shouting that they're doubling down on proprietary lending, keeping it all in-house.
But the numbers tell a completely different story.
Exactly. Brokers now control something like 78% of the market. The banks are just, they're losing the ground game.
It's a massive disconnect. And look, the really interesting part isn't just the market share, it's the movement of people. We are seeing seasoned lending officers,
People with safe six-figure jobs.
safe jobs at major banks, yeah. And they're fleeing to join independent brokerages. So the mission for us today is to figure out why they are jumping ship and honestly how these smaller firms can even afford them.
Okay, let's unpack that because, I mean, you don't just leave safe and corporate for small and risky without a massive push. What is that push?
Well, the primary driver is something we're calling the complexity gap. You have to look at the Australian borrower today. It's a different world.
How so?
About 1.1 million Australians are now independent contractors, gig workers.
Hmm.
They just don't fit the standard 9-to-5 salaried employee box anymore.
Right, but banks have been lending money for centuries. Surely they can figure out a freelancer's income.
You would absolutely think so, but modern banking is a volume game. It relies on these automated algorithms to keep costs down. If you fit the algorithm, great, you're approved. If you don't, computer says no. The banks, they literally can't afford the time it takes to manually untangle a complex income stream.
So that complexity has become a kind of luxury service that banks aren't set up to provide.
Exactly. And you can imagine how frustrating that is for the banker. You're sitting there looking at a client who makes great money, but because they have three different income streams, you have to say no.
It's a total loss of professional agency.
A total loss. And it gets worse. Bank staff are handcuffed by APRA's caps on high debt-to-income ratios and something we call channel conflict.
Channel conflict, what's that?
It's the industry's dirty little secret. Often, a bank will offer a cheaper interest rate through its broker channel than it allows its own branch staff to offer.
You're kidding.
So, as a bank manager, you might have to say, I can't give you that rate, but if you go to the broker down the street, he can get it for you from my bank. It's demoralizing.
Wow. So instead of being a gatekeeper with one hand tied behind your back, the broker, they get to play the whole field.
They get to be advocates. They operate under best interest duty or BBIA. They have a panel of 30 plus lenders. They're not order takers. They're hunting for a yes.
But let's talk about the money, because passion is great, but it doesn't pay the mortgage. A banking manager in 2026, they're on a base of around $125,000. That's safe, reliable.
It is. It's terrifying to leave. But while the bank salary is safe, it's also capped. You're basically trading a ceiling for a floor.
And the upside in the broker world.
The total earnings data for top-tier brokers is pretty wild. We're seeing incomes hitting $285,000, even over $300,000.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. 300,000. That sounds like a best case scenario. A bit of marketing fluff.
You're right to be skeptical. That is not a day one number, not at all. There is a brutal 5-year roadmap.
Okay.
Year one is survival mode. You might earn $38,000, maybe $60,000 if you're lucky. You're burning through savings, unlearning all those institutional
So
habits.
year one is the valley of death.
Pretty much.
Okay.
But if you get through it, by year three, you're usually hitting $120,000, catching up to that old bank salary.
Yeah.
But the money is different. It's a mix of upfront commission and trail.
Right, trail. That's the recurring commission you get every month just for keeping the client on the books. It's like a subscription fee for the loan.
And that is the golden ticket. By year five, you're not just an employee anymore. You're looking at equity partnerships, succession planning. It becomes an ownership play.
That sounds incredible for the person who makes it. But let's flip the table. If I'm the brokerage owner, hiring a 125K banker sounds incredibly expensive.
Painfully expensive. There's what we call the 1.4x multiplier. Pay someone $100,000, and they actually cost you $140,000 once you add super and insurance.
Okay, and then there's the cash flow.
Yes. The kicker is the 90-day settlement gap.
The what?
The gap between doing the work and getting paid. A new broker writes a loan today, but the bank doesn't pay the commission for about 3 months. So the owner is paying that huge salary for a full quarter before seeing $1 of revenue from that hire.
That is a cash flow nightmare. You could literally go broke just by growing.
And many do. But the smart firms, they're using financial engineering to bridge that gap. They use their existing trail book as a kind of growth engine.
How does that work?
They can actually borrow against their future trail income, from specialist lenders to get the cash now to pay those salaries. So they're leveraging past success to fund new talent.
Got it. And I saw that technology is playing a role here too, right? In making new hires profitable faster.
A huge role. In a bank, you might spend 60% of your time on admin. In a modern brokerage, they use AI tools like Quickly and Suite 360.
So the AI does the grunt work.
It does. It automates all the policy lookups, the serviceability checks. It allows a new hire to write 50% more deals than they ever could manually. It strips away the grind so the human can focus on that complexity gap, on actually talking to people.
So what this really boils down to is a fundamental shift, isn't it? From time-based banking roles where you punch a clock to outcome-based brokerage careers.
And that shift changes how you view your career. A bank salary stops the day you retire. A trailbook is an asset that keeps paying you. It's a retirement plan that you own, not your employer.
Which brings us to a final thought. We talk a lot about AI and automation replacing jobs, but in this story, the algorithms are actually driving the best talent away from the banks because the algorithms just can't handle real life.
It really raises the question, doesn't it? In a world that's increasingly run by AI, is the human ability to navigate complexity, to handle the messy, non-standard reality of people's lives, actually becoming the ultimate premium asset?
Something to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.